Well, missed you all last week, and I am glad that you have weathered the storm and that we're able again to be back in the house of the Lord. 2 weeks ago, we jumped back into the book of Revelation. If you remember, I did an unorthodox 10-point sermon on a review of the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through Revelation 8. Verse 5, and we considered, again, these points and truths, the storyline, the plot line, the cast of characters there within the book. And today we now get back into the book ourselves, into that next section, Revelation chapter 8, verses 6 through 12. One of the 10 points, if you would remember from 2 weeks ago, that we thought about in the book of Revelation was the reality of distress, the reality of distress. And I mentioned that one of the great things about the Bible, and the book of Revelation in particular, is that it does not sugarcoat reality. It does not gloss over the troubles of this world, even the troubles that the saints themselves experience. Christianity is not like Buddhism. Buddhism says the external world is an illusion. If you think properly, if you follow the Eightfold Path, if you control your thinking in such a way, really trouble disappears. There ultimately is no trouble if you simply think differently about it. All trouble is mere illusion. That just doesn't sit right, does it? And Christianity does not take such a route. Rather, Christianity acknowledges the reality of the distresses, the real afflictions, calamities, and tribulations of this life. And the Bible faces them head on, yet at the same time we know the Bible gives us real hope in the midst of them. The Bible teaches us that while calamities and tribulations swirl all around us, Christ is in control. While calamities and trials swirl all around us, the Bible tells us they ultimately are not the last word, even if they result in death. But rather, Christ has the last word, and for us who trust in him, it is victory. So the Bible gives us hope. It acknowledges the realities of the distress. It gives us hope. However, we should not think that the Bible doesn't have anything provocative to say about our afflictions and tribulations. It most certainly does. The way the Bible comes at the afflictions of this world, particularly in the book of Revelation, and particularly within our text, is very provocative and quite troubling, in fact. Perhaps offensive to those outside the church, to those who by nature are rebels against God and his Christ. And that then brings us to our text this morning, the introduction of the trumpets, Revelation 8, verses 6 through 12. Though there's 13 verses in this chapter, we're going to hold 13 until next week as it transitions us into the last three of the trumpets. This morning, we're just going to consider the first four of the seven trumpets. So already we have considered the tribulations of this age. We said that the book of Revelation is that age, covering that age between the cross and resurrection to the second coming and new creation. And in this age, it is a time of great tribulation. And we've already considered the troubles of this age in the seven seals, in the distresses, the four horsemen that ravage the earth and run through the course of history during this time, we have seen as part of God's unfolding plan. That's how the tribulations of this age were presented to us in the first section, the first vision here. The troubles, the horsemen, are part of God's unfolding plan of redemption. That is, they are the afflictions through which the saints are gathered. The army of the Lord is being gathered in the midst of and through those very afflictions. And those afflictions are those in which the saints serve the Lord and suffer victoriously. It is not around those sufferings or above those sufferings or despite those sufferings, but in and through those very sufferings that the saints of God prevail and the army of the Lord is formed and they have victory, because we serve united in suffering with and for our King, Jesus Christ. And in that vision of tribulation, we heard the cries of the martyrs, the faithful witnesses, those who had gone through the great tribulation faithfully and who wear the victor's crown and who are there under the altar and who are crying out for relief and who are crying out for vindication. And we heard the Lord say, you need to wait a little longer. So that is the context we come out of immediately. Now, Jesus gives John, and through John, he gives us a second perspective on these tribulations. He gives us a second vision of the distresses of this age. And in this vision, we learn that these trials and tribulations are not simply God's unfolding plan of redemption, by which he's gathering in his saints and by which the kingdom of God is being built. No, it's not simply God's unfolding plan of redemption, but rather the tribulations of this age are in fact judgments. Punishments. Judgments against the powers that are in high rebellion against Almighty God. That's what we learn in Revelation chapter 8. Beginning in 6 and for this morning going through verse 12, that the tribulations of this age are in fact God's judgments against all powers that are in high rebellion against him. Now, if we let that set in a little bit, you can understand why this will be maybe shocking, maybe offensive, perplexing. But we'll take some time here this morning to look at it and consider a couple things. I only want to make two basic points this morning. I want us to consider the Old Testament background, the Old Testament considerations that we need to have as we come into this text so we can understand these four trumpets. And then I want to make some closing considerations about how we think about the afflictions of this age. In our text this morning, there are many Old Testament images and ideas and references flying around, and they're fun to pursue. You'll make your way through all different prophets and different images that are being brought up and drawn on by John. It's wonderful and it's complex. But this morning, I only want us to consider two basic Old Testament stories, which I think are obvious here, and which really set the backdrop for us to be able to understand some of what John is revealing to us. So three things I want us to consider in Old Testament background. First, just broadly and generally, what are trumpets? And what were trumpets used for in the Old Testament? And then I want us to think of two Old Testament stories that help us understand our text. In the Old Testament, trumpets served several purposes. When the trumpets were blown, they were blown to announce things. And a couple different things. And really, in a very real sense, they all apply. In this case, to our text. In the Old Testament, trumpets were blown as warnings. Warnings to repent, for the people of God to be warned to repent of their sins and to flee from their idolatry. And in that way, trumpets also announced the coming of judgment. Generally, in this case, it would not be a good thing, after having been warned, to hear the trumpets sound, because the trumpets usually meant judgment was coming. And yet the trumpets were also used in the Old Testament to announce good news. Trumpets were blown to announce salvation. The trumpets were blown to announce the enthronement of a new king. And trumpets were blown to assemble the saints, to gather them together. So in these different ways, when we hear the trumpets being used in Revelation chapter 8, this is not just an image plopped out of nowhere, but rather it's drawing on an Old Testament sense of things and Old Testament imagery. And so when we hear the word trumpets used for these calamities, we should hear an announcement being made. That's what the trumpets are. So here we're seeing afflictions as announcements. Calamities in the world are announcements from God, warnings from God. summons from God. It's not generally how we think about affliction. But here we're told, again, the book of Revelation is given to us to inform and to shape our imaginations, to help us to see the world rightly. The world looks at tribulations and afflictions, and they're overwhelmed by the trial of it. But we're told in the book of Revelation how we should actually see trials and tribulations. One, as the unfolding purpose of God and his plan of redemption, but now secondly, as announcements from God. Okay, so what are the two Old Testament stories that provide the backdrop for our text this morning? One, we read as our Old Testament reading, and that is the conquest of Jericho. Now, this should be an obvious one, right? Because we've got seven trumpets in that story and seven trumpets in our story. And in that story, Joshua is preparing to come in. They've come into the land of Canaan. Joshua is now met by the commander of the Lord's army, if you remember. And now the commander of the Lord's army tells him, Joshua, I've already delivered Jericho over to you, but here's how we're going to go about finally conquering it. You're going to go with your army and the ark of the Lord and the priests at the head of the line, and you're going to march around the city. And as you march around the city, the priests will blow their trumpets. Then you'll come back to the camp. Day two, you will go out, march around the city, blow the trumpets. But you don't say a word. You just go back to your camp. And we're going to do this 6 days in a row. At some point, it's going to seem like foolishness to the inhabitants of Jericho, who refuse to acknowledge the announcement of the trumpets and what is coming. On the seventh day, you will march around the city seven times. And at that point, the priests will give a great blow of the trumpets. And when you hear that, then command the people to shout. And when they shout, the great city will crumble. It will collapse. Now, this is the backdrop for our text, because we have in our text, again, seven trumpets being blown. And we should tie this into the story of Jericho and give us some sense about what these trumpets are doing. And we're going to look at all four of them in a second. But the afflictions and trials and tribulations of this age are to be heard, according to our text, as great blasts of trumpets from the priests, from the angels in heaven, sent by Christ. And what are they doing? They're announcing something. They're announcing judgment that is coming. Every time the Israelites walked around the city of Jericho, and when they blew that trumpet, what they were saying is, be warned. Be warned, this trumpet is a herald, an announcement of a cataclysmic judgment that is coming. And when the seventh trumpet sounded, the seventh day, indeed it was a cataclysmic judgment as the great city came crumbling down. Jesus is telling us through John in this great vision that the tribulations of this age are announcements to us. Be warned. Be warned. The day of cataclysmic judgment is coming. Every time a superstorm Sandy rolls in, or an earthquake in Burma, or a great storm like Katrina, or a tsunami, or a volcano in Iceland, or you name it, every time these things happen, there is an announcement. A trumpet is being blasted from the heavens. It's one more time around the walls of Jericho. They go, and the trumpets sound, and they say, be warned. Cataclysmic judgment is coming. So the first backdrop to our text is that of Jericho. And let us then hear and see the trials and tribulations of our age as just that, the blowing of the horns as the army of the Lord marches around the city of Jericho, the great city in high rebellion against God Almighty. That's the first story. We keep that in the backdrop. The second story that's being drawn on here is the Exodus story. the Exodus story. And particularly within the Exodus story, what's being drawn on are the 10 plagues that were brought upon Pharaoh and his oppressive, enslaving empire. So let's take a minute and go through these, because it's three out of the four of these first four trumpets that really draw on and are intended to draw our mind back to the 10 plagues of Egypt, 1, 3, and 4. And even number 2 has a reference, and we'll get to that in a second. So let's make our way through these four trumpets that are being blasted as warnings, and here see them as judgments within themselves. These aren't just warnings. They are judgment warnings. They are painful warnings, as we can attest from Storm Sandy or from Katrina or from an earthquake. These things hurt. They are within and of themselves judgments, but they are warning judgments of a greater, again, cataclysmic judgment that is coming. The first trumpet that is blown, and these come rapid fire. This is not like the seals. These come very quickly at us, these first four. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So the first trumpet that is blasted is hail, fire, and blood. Devastation. Particularly here, devastation of crops and devastation of all vegetation. It is intended to recall to our minds the seventh plague against Pharaoh, which was itself the plague of hail and fire. And the result was devastation to the crops. Right? There was a famine, a devastation that brought trouble to the food supply of Egypt. So the first trumpet that is blasted is devastation to crops and vegetation, drawing our minds back to the seventh plague in Egypt. The second trumpet, then the angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now here, this doesn't draw our minds to any of the plagues, but it does, if we hear it rightly, bring back an image of the Exodus to us. Notice when John refers to this, he says something like a great mountain. Some have interpreted this as maybe a volcanic eruption that flowed into the sea, something. We shouldn't get caught up again in the imagery and try to find some literal referent within history to this. When the scriptures refer to something like a great mountain, that usually refers to a great kingdom, to a great city. A mountain refers to a great city. And what John sees here in this vision is something like a great mountain, i.e. a great city, a great kingdom, thrown into the sea that is destroyed. Cast into the sea. And what is its effects? It has devastating effects. It has devastating effects on all who live in the sea. It has devastating effects upon all the nations. It has a devastating effect upon the economy. A third of the ships are destroyed in the commerce that comes with it. In Revelation chapter 18, verses 17 through 19, we get a reference back to this later in the text when Babylon itself is destroyed. Hear the word of the Lord from Revelation 18. And they were saying, "Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed with fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance, and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like the great city?' Thus they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.'" The image here is the destruction of a great empire. And with the destruction of that great empire comes the destruction of an economy. the destruction of wealth and commerce and all who had made themselves rich because of this great city. They've watched her quickly in a minute go up in flames, cast into the sea. And there's weeping and wailing. And I guess the reference for us to the Exodus story, of course, is when Egypt herself went into the sea. Pursuing the Hebrews and the Israelites out of Egypt, they went into the sea. And what happened to them when they went in the sea? Complete destruction as the sea overwhelmed them and Egypt and Pharaoh and his great host were destroyed. So John is revealing something to us in these trumpets. They are warning judgments. They are warnings, but they are judgments as God brings his judgment now down upon a rebellious empire, a rebellious nation, a rebellious people who are in high rebellion against him. The third trumpet, the fouling of the waters. Verse 10, then a third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Here we have a recall and a call to remember the first plague by which the waters of Egypt were fouled and turned to blood. Here in the sounding of the third trumpet, we have a star being judged and cast to the earth. The name of the star is bitterness, wormwood. This is probably a reference to the god of the great city that is cast into the sea. The angel, the protecting angel, perhaps, of this great city. And John or Jesus gives it the name Wormwood. Their idolatry is being judged, and God judges that of their idolatry, this great star, Wormwood, and he casts it to the earth, and it goes into the rivers and pollutes the waters, and they drink of the polluted waters, and themselves are poisoned and die. That is, they drink of their own pollution. The pollution of their idolatry leads to the pollution of the waters that leads to their own death. There's a reference back in Jeremiah when God essentially does this to Israel herself. Let me read it to you. Jeremiah 9, 13 through 15, which again is another referent for this text. And the Lord said, now he's speaking to Israel here. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals. Again, this idolatry. Because they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals which their fathers taught them, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them this people with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. God takes their idolatry, the pollution of their idolatry, and essentially makes them drink that pollution, that gall, that bitterness, that wormwood, and they are poisoned by it. So the third trumpet, the pollution of the waters that God brings upon them as a result of their own idolatry, and what does it look like? Bitterness, affliction. That's what's coming upon them in the third trumpet. The fourth trumpet, the judgment upon the sun, moon, and stars, verse 12. Then a fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Don't get thrown off by what it means that a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the day was not light. I'll get to what a third means in a second. The judgment here, the trumpet, is the trumpet and plague of darkness, which is to draw our minds back to the ninth plague in Egypt. That plague by which God judged the great god of the Egyptians, Ra, the sun god, the chief god among the Egyptians, and God darkened him. And God let the world know that he alone is God, and he turned the great sun into darkness. And of course, here, this plague, this trumpet, is meant to announce the darkness of sin and rebellion, and what it looks like when God withdraws himself from humanity and from this great kingdom. Okay, so those are our two backdrops. The seven trumpets around Jericho announcing a coming cataclysm, and the judgment warnings of the 10 plagues, for that's just what they were. Each plague was a call to Pharaoh to repent and to relent of his rebellion and to let the people of God go. But no, he oppressed the people of God and persecuted the people of God, and the people are crying out to the Lord, and the Lord hears their prayers, and he brings these judgment plagues upon Pharaoh until finally he breaks them with the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn. So some concluding thoughts, four thoughts on us in this time and what application there is to us. First, the trumpets here in this text are the afflictions of our age. This has direct application to us, for these are the afflictions and tribulations and distresses of our age. This is the drought in the Midwest that damages the grass of the field. This is Superstorm Sandy. This is economic disaster, as we even watch our own great city being thrown into the sea. We watch America in decline, and we watch our economy go with it, and all who made themselves rich on the bounty of America now cry out, "What's happening?" That's what we cry out, and we watch. And it's not just us, it was Rome. When Rome was thrown into the sea, and all who had made themselves rich and mighty by Rome watched her gone in 410 AD as the Visigoths came and conquered her and she went up in smoke. Or it's the British Empire. And all who had made themselves rich in the imperial powers of Britain watched it go. Economic disasters. Great kingdoms falling apart. A nation in decline because it drinks of its own pollution and idolatry. It's exactly what we're doing in this world and in this country. We have taken good things from God, and we have made idols out of them. And we can see it within our culture, as we have a culture that day after day imbibes the pollution of its idolatry and seeks to live off that pollution, its bitterness, and it poisons us as a people. These afflictions in our day, the circumstances of our age, and not just ours, but every age, from the time of Christ to the second coming, is the sounding of these trumpets. This was not just something for these seven churches. It is something for us. So first, the trumpets are the afflictions of our age. Secondly, these trumpets are God's judgment. Superstorm Sandy is God's judgment. The drought in the Midwest is God's judgment. An economy in decline is God's judgment. Now, this is offensive to the world. It's offensive to some Christians. We should not say such things. Well, in some sense, they're right. We have to be very careful with this. People who perished in Superstorm Sandy, or people who lost everything in the storm, or people who die because of an earthquake, or because of Katrina, or because of a tsunami, or people who lose their jobs in a bad economy, any of these things where they suffer under those afflictions, are not necessarily in and of themselves receiving directly the judgment of God for their sin. That's the mistake people often make. Katrina was God's judgment against New Orleans. Sandy was God's judgment against Atlantic City and all the gambling that takes place and all the sin that's there in Manhattan and so forth. That is a misuse and abuse of this truth. A person who gets sick and dies of cancer is not necessarily receiving the direct judgment of God. A person who loses their job in a bad economy is not necessarily receiving the hands of God's judgment particularly. What this text is telling us, however, is that all of these afflictions are God's judgment against the world for sin. And we all experience them in different ways. Just like the four horsemen that run through history, we all experience one or another at different points within history and in our own lives. If this is shocking to us, to think that God would be responsible for storms and earthquakes and bad economies, then perhaps we need to reckon again with the depths and the reality of sin and the consequences of high rebellion against Almighty God. These storms, these economic disasters, these oppressive kingdoms are all effects of God turning a rebellious world over and judging it in its sin. Sometimes actively in feeling the consequences of our sin and rebellion, and sometimes passively allowing us to drink of the pollution of our idolatry and darkening our hearts as he darkened a third of the day. But either way, these trumpets are the judgments of God. So first, they are the afflictions of our day. Secondly, they are the judgments of God against a world in rebellion against him. Thirdly, they are warnings. If it bothers you to think of Superstorm Sandy being a judgment by God against sin, brothers and sisters, you have not seen anything yet. Superstorm Sandy will not be remembered on the day of judgment. It is merely a trumpet. It is merely a warning. Like the plagues, like the trumpets blown around Jericho, it is merely a warning of a cataclysmic judgment that is coming. This is why a third of the earth was affected this way, a third of the sea, a third of the sun, a third of the day, because it's not ultimate. God doesn't just destroy the earth in a superstorm. It comes and it affects New York and Jersey. And Katrina affects the southern states. And the earthquake affects Burma. And the volcano affects this area. And economic disaster affects this hemisphere. And in fact, but it's only a third here, a third there. We'll recover. I'm not making light of the storm, but we will recover. New York will recover. Jersey will recover. This is not the final judgment. This is a warning of judgment that is to come, and we are to heed the sound of the trumpets because they tell us of a much greater judgment. And therefore, the appropriate response, and we'll talk about this more in weeks to come, the appropriate response to any of the trumpet blasts is repentance. Repent. When Jesus was asked by his disciples why those people perished when the Tower of Siloam fell upon them, he did not give them an answer. He merely said to them, "Repent, or you likewise will perish." The message for us when we see a devastating storm come is to repent, not because my personal sin is being judged in Superstorm Sandy or any of these things, or those people are more sinful than we are. No, repent because these storms tell us that things are not right in the world and that a judgment is coming greater than any of these things. So let us take advantage of these tragedies and calamities and do with them as we ought to do and repent and turn to the Lord and trust on him, trust in him. So first, there are the afflictions of this age. Secondly, they are judgments. Thirdly, they are merely warnings. And then fourthly, they are actually encouragements. These things are actually encouragements. That is to say, that these afflictions, according to our text, are the birth pangs of God's answer to our prayers. The saints had cried out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, before you vindicate us? When will you stop the oppressive powers against us?" And the trumpets are the beginning of the answer to that prayer. When the plagues came upon Egypt, it was an announcement to Pharaoh, but it was also an announcement to Israel. The end is coming. I am making war against the powers that oppose and oppress you. I am defending you. I will go to war against Pharaoh. And I will bring this to an end. So when we are in the army of Israel, marching around Jericho, and at the end of another long slog around the city, we hear those trumpets sound, we are reminded victory is coming. And we get back out there the next day and make another long, arduous trek around the city, and then we hear the trumpet sound. And when we are oppressed by powers like Pharaoh, and we see the sun go dark, or when we're plagued by gnats, or frogs, or livestock being killed, or blood, water becoming blood, we are reminded our God is at war against all the powers that oppose him and oppress and try to enslave us. Victory is coming. And God hears our prayers. Don't forget, we go through these afflictions. But the trumpets are primarily judgments against the world. We, remember the previous text, have been sealed by God. And like the 10th plague that finally brought cataclysmic judgment upon Israel in the killing of the firstborn, Israel was spared. Israel was spared. Why? Because they had been sealed. The blood on the doorpost sealed them that they might be spared from that cataclysmic judgment. And we are sealed. We've been told that in Revelation 6 and 7. We have been sealed unto the Lord, so that these devastating trumpets and judgments are judgments on the world, but we are spared through them. Listen to, I have it somewhere, the words of the great hymn, How Firm a Foundation. As we think about the fact that we go through Superstorm Sandys and we go through earthquakes and we go through bad economies, but what is judgment upon the world is actually blessing to us. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame will not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Yeah, we go through these trials and we go through these tribulations, but for us they are working up for us a greater weight of glory. For the world, they harden the heart, and they build up a treasury of wrath held for them on the day of judgment. So in this way, not that we rejoice in Superstorm Sandy or any of these things, we most certainly do not. But they are announcements to us. They are announcements that God is judging the rebellion of this world. They remind us how desperately we need to repent and trust in Jesus Christ. And it reminds us that the end, the day of judgment, is coming upon the world. And we who are sealed in Jesus Christ will be saved. Let us not miss the sounds of the trumpets. Let us not simply spiral into despair about how we're going to get through this or how we're going to get through that or what about the state of our country. And it's so easy for us to panic and become paranoid. And to do that is to miss the announcement of the trumpet. Our call is to be faithful. We've been sealed in Jesus Christ. Nothing can harm us. No defeat will come upon us. All that opposes us will be destroyed. Let us never spiral into despair. Let us hear the trumpets for what they are. Let us repent. And let us look forward to the victory that is ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we tremble before the sound of these trumpets, for they are terrifying at times. Whether they be bad economies, the destruction of an empire, natural calamities, Father, they are terrifying at times. But may we hear them as they are sounded. May we repent of our idolatries and turn to you. And may we be convinced again and again and again of the victory that is ours. For you are defeating all powers and principalities that oppress your people and that oppose you. Give us eyes then that look forward to the hope that is ours. And let us be confident in your grace. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.